Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Wednesday to everyone. This is exciting time. It's the start of the season. You'll get to see your Sixers play tonight in a tough opener against Oklahoma City. But right now, I have my man Fred Katz with Locked On Thunder. So he's going to be able to, you know, talk to us about some things about Oklahoma City. You know, Fred and I are going to just have a discussion about the two teams. And I just want y'all to sit back and listen to us talk about Wednesday's matchup.
We got some real basketball coming.
I know, finally, man, finally. Finally, I'm tired of the fake games.
Preseason's way too long.
Way too long. It's, I mean, dude, and it's funny because the Sixers had a road trip. And it was like, I was like, man, am I actually on a preseason road trip? And then one of their games at home went to double overtime. And it was like the longest preseason game. So I'm just finally happy to get here. And it seems like I've been here for like 2 months. But, you know, it's really starting to start. So I'm excited.
Preseason overtime games are terrible for everybody because nobody wants to watch like 58 minutes or 53 minutes of preseason basketball. Nobody wants to play 53 or 58 minutes of preseason basketball. And nobody wants to coach it. And like the coaches also have designated minutes totals that they try to get to. And overtime messes that all up. I'm convinced that, you know how they do sudden death in summer league?
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced they should adopt that rule for preseason. It would make everybody happier. And like you don't have to like bust up somebody's minutes if you don't want to. Because I'm sure coaches come in with the amount of minutes that they want to have. And when it goes to overtime or double overtime, it messes that all up.
You're exactly right, Fred, because it's funny, because when they went to overtime, fans were like, oh, and then when they went to double, I'm like, oh, and like you said, if you have, like, you know, a sudden, you know, whoever scores first wins the game, I mean, that would be great, because then you'll see all the excitement, the fans like, ooh, ah, oh, he missed the shot, you know what I mean, oh, he made it, and everyone would, like, celebrate and, like, start cheering and everything like that, but yeah, you're right, I mean, but hey, the only thing is, the good thing about the preseason for a team like the Sixers, that enabled them to see what they have in Joel Embiid. So that was the one positive that I got out of it.
Well, he's somebody that I have on the outline now, so let's talk about Joel Embiid. Here, for Thunder fans who don't know, maybe some Sixers fans who don't know, I imagine a lot more Sixers fans know because this was nuts. Joel Embiid, Per he played, I forget exactly how many minutes, 15 minutes a game or so, and per 36 minutes, he averaged 27.9 points, 14.7 rebounds. He made a couple of threes in the preseason. He looked, I mean, I'll let you talk about him. I was like, holy smokes, he is really good.
Yeah, he is great. I mean, so far, so good. The only concern about him is his foot. You know, he had navicular bone surgeries in each of the past two summers. And he was the third overall pick in the 2014 draft, but due to those surgeries, he was unable to play. So he's making his debut now. And he has been as good as advertised. I mean, like you said, he can shoot from the outside. He's 7'2", 276 pounds. So he also has the ability to bang on the post. You know, it's just his health, that's the only concern, and that's the reason why they gradually brought him along slowly, because he's a little rusty. You know, they don't want to put him out there too fast, give him too many minutes, and then so he could, you know, re-injure himself. But I mean, this guy is something that the people from Oklahoma City on Wednesday will probably have a joy watching, depending on how well he plays.
I'm so excited to be able to be at his first preseason game. That's gonna be or his first regular season mm-hmm. game. I mean, that's gonna be so much fun. I'll tell you what impressed me the most about him, and I obviously didn't watch as many Sixers preseason games as you, but from the couple of games that I did watch, I mean, he's so coordinated. For someone his size and for someone who hasn't played a real basketball game in 2.5 years, he's so coordinated and fluid, even on the block. I mean, for all the talk that there is in the league about how there are no more good centers, I mean, that's kind of total crap, right? Like, there's so many centers, good centers, in their 20s. You know, whether it's, you know, guys who are just coming up, like Embiid and Towns and, you know, Porzingis will be a center and Miles Turner, or like some more established guys, you know, in Oklahoma City, Steven Adams, you know, the Lopez's, like there are guys who I'm forgetting about, Whiteside, like there are so many good centers in the league. Embiid, though, is so coordinated. He's got so many good moves in the post already. I was just watching him post up, and it was he plays a beautiful brand of game. And I am really, really excited to see what kind of year he has. I know he's on a minutes restriction. How much do you think he's got? I know he's not going to play back-to-backs or anything like that. How much do you think he's going to end up playing this year?
Well, you know, right now, they are considering to play him on back-to-backs just because he has surpassed all their expectations health-wise at this particular time. But, you know, starting out early, the goal is, Brett Brown said, you know, said last week that the goal was to play him 20 to 24 minutes against the Thunder. And then they would probably gradually, you know, keep moving on, moving up rather. So I can say maybe he'll play about 30 minutes because, and I'm not saying against the Thunder, but I'm saying probably like in December we could see him at 30 minutes and then, you know, take it from there. Because it just seems like all the tests that they take for him afterwards, he keeps passing, like I said before. So he'll be fine. And in regards to, you know, his agility, you know, a lot of that comes from, you know, his African background. And what I mean by that is he was a guy who grew up playing soccer. I mean, he loved soccer. I mean, it's not uncommon to see him walking around with a Manchester United soccer jersey or a Barcelona soccer jersey with MB21 on the back, right? And then if he wouldn't have came to America to play basketball, he had a pro volleyball career waiting for him in France. So it's like this guy, you know, he's actually like a 6'5", 6'6", guy, athleticism-wise, trapped in a 7'2" frame. So, yeah, he's good. Now, the only thing about him is that since he hasn't played ball in 2 years, there's some times that he'll do a move where he'll try to get his footing right, but he's a little bit still off balance. Like, his mind is 3 steps ahead of his body right now, so he turns the ball over quite a bit. And then also, there's also times that he's trying to force feed things out of the post because as much as how dominant that he is, he realizes that he has yet to have an assist in the preseason. So what he's doing is he's trying to force feed his teammates, and sometimes he's making errant passes because of that. But all the other things you said about his skill set and the things that he does is correct, but he just needs to get, you know, his timing down a little bit better, and he needs to slow down on his passes.
Okay, so last year the Sixers won 10 games. I'm sorry that you had to cover that all year. This year, how many more wins? I imagine they're not winning 10 games again this year. So how many wins how improved are they going to be? Forget about the wins, but how improved are they going to be from last year? Because they signed a couple of guys who are, you know, Gerald Henderson has not had, you know, the greatest last couple of years, but at least he's established and, you know, brought in Sergio Rodriguez, who kind of struggled a little bit in the preseason, but you know, has been an NBA player, and it's there's obviously been a regime change in terms, you know, a organizational mentality switch or adjustment even, you know, with Hinkie gone and Colangelo in for the year. What do you think the end of this year ends up yielding for the Sixers?
Man, I was hoping you didn't ask that question, because it doesn't look very bright for the 76ers. I mean, you know, they'll be lucky to double up last year's win total. I mean, they'll be lucky to get the 20 wins. And the reason being is there was so much excitement. And then so much excitement because of Ben Simmons was coming. And then we talk about, you said it, Gerald Henderson, Jared Bayless, and Sergio Rodriguez was three, free agent acquisitions that they had in July. Now, these guys aren't exactly NBA All-Stars, but like you said, they're established NBA players. And then you have Dario Saric, Joel Embiid, the guys you pointed to. All that's great. But then you factor in that they were unable to make a trade for Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor, the other centers. Now, they were, you know, it would be ideal for them to trade them and get somebody else in the wing. They couldn't do that. Both of these guys are injured right now. Okafor is going to play this game, but he has knee soreness. Nerlens Noel is having surgery, so he's not going to be able to play. He could be out 3 to 5 weeks. Gerald Henderson was dealing with a bad injury on his hip. His hip was bothering him, so he's going to play. His minutes are coming back, but he's rusty. Okay, Jared Bayless is out for at least 2 weeks because of ligament damage in his left wrist. So, you know, I mean, this team is like the walking wounded, man, and all the excitement is out of it. So they have been struggling mightily in the preseason. I mean, so much so that people are fearful of this Oklahoma City game because they're saying Russell Westbrook could possibly get 50 against the team. So, you know, yeah, there was excitement, but I do not see them winning 20 games this season. I mean, I may say about 17, pushing 18, but I just don't see it unless they make some trades. And right now it's hard to trade the two centers when both of them are hurt.
I am interested to see. So the Thunder's first three games are at Philadelphia, then home for Phoenix, and home for the Lakers. Wow. And I am very intrigued to see what Russell Westbrook's numbers are through three games because they could be quite decent.
So they may have to give him the MVP, right? They're going to be chanting MVP, MVP. I mean, he's
well,
talking some, ooh, it's going
with
to be.
This, yeah, okay. with the way the schedule works out, they've got those first three, and then they're in L.A. for the Clippers, and then they have at Golden State the next night. So it's I mean, look, I mean, beating the Clippers on the road is not necessarily, like, they obviously won't be the favorites in that game, but I think the Thunder are pretty decent still, and if they can pull off, you know, a road upset there, like, they have an you know, less than 50% chance, but, like, yeah, a realistic enough chance to talk about it to be 4-0 going into the Golden State game, which will just, the hype would be insane.
Yeah.
The hype will be insane anyway for Thunder Warriors, but just like as a basketball fan, that will be ridiculous. I mean, I think Westbrook's numbers aren't going to be as high per game through those three games as possible, because I think it's possible the Thunder have one of those games as a blowout, because those are teams who could, like, those three teams could combine for like 60 some odd wins. Like, those three teams could combine for fewer wins than the Warriors this year. That is a plausible scenario. So I think it's possible that, you know, one of those games he's out in the fourth quarter or something like that. Are there any matchups in this Thunder-Sixers game that intrigue you?
Yep. But there's two of them, and I wanted to ask you about both of them, actually. Well, Russell Westbrook, we touched on it a little bit, like where we think he's going to dominate, because he's going up against Sergio Rodriguez, right? And Sergio Rodriguez is a flashy point guard, but the problem is he's an inconsistent shooter, and he's not a very good defender at all. So Russell Westbrook is going to have a field day. So I want to, you know, you talk to me about a little bit about how dominant Russell has, how dominant you think Russell is going to be this year. And secondly, there's another matchup that really intrigues me, and it's the center position. It's between Steven Adams and Embiid. You know, Steven Adams is a guy, you know, he has a physical style of play. He kind of gets under people's skin. He's going to go up against a rookie and Embiid. And secondly, Steven Adams has developed a jump floater, you know, like, and like, can you just talk about his progression?
Oh, he's been so crazy during the preseason. I had a scout tell me over the weekend, I was just, you know, chatting, catching up with him, and he told me flat out, he thinks Adams is no question a top five center on both sides of the ball now, in terms of top five defense and a top five offensive center, which I was surprised to hear him say that just so emphatically. He said it's absolutely no question he's a top five guy. He looks incredible on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, he averaged like 28 points per 36 minutes or something like that during the preseason. It's not just the floater. The floater looks great. It's very Brooke Lopez-y, that floater. But it's not just the floater that's been good. He's got a couple of post moves. He's got a spin move from the right block. He's got an up and under. I mean, he's added some counters to his post moves. Like, he looks so good on the offensive end. He's been passing for the high post. He's been finding cutters from the low post and three-point shooters from the low post. He looks like a different offensive player. And then, you know, you add to the fact he's always been a good pick-and-roll center. That's never been the issue. He sets great screens because he's just so physical and plays so hard, and he's such a big body, and he's big, and he's strong, and he's fundamentally sound. So he's always set good screens, and he rolls to the basket hard and well because he's smart and he finds good spots. And he's always been good at that aspect. So you basically, if you thought with his old skill set that, you know, offensively he could be like a slightly less athletic, well, not slightly less athletic, because DeAndre Jordan is just an outrageous athlete, but a less athletic, still a very good athlete, but less athletic DeAndre Jordan in terms of his role, which is what he kind of was last year, right? Where, you know, it was pick and roll and dives to the rim and offensive rebound putbacks and dunks and lobs and that kind of stuff, and that was where he got his offense from. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. His game has expanded so much. I think offensively he's going to be really good. Defensively, yeah, I wonder how Embiid's going to react to that. That's a tough guy to go up against in your first ever NBA game, because he will beat up anybody. He does not care who you are or where you are in your career or how good you are or how bad you are. He's so physical. And he's become a really good help defender. He's totally capable of defending on the perimeter. So if Embiid wants to pick and pop or whatnot, he's able to do that kind of stuff. They like to switch him onto guards and wings sometimes. They did that a lot in the playoffs with Stephen Curry last year, where he just ended up guarding Stephen Curry on the perimeter. And that was a common strategy against the Warriors in general in the playoffs last year, switching onto Curry. And he did a really good job on those switches and that kind of stuff. So I think he's become a really good player, and he's still only 23 years old.
Wow.
Seems like he's been around for a long time, but he's only 23. Like, he's not, I imagine he's not at his peak. He's probably got another few years before he really, you know, for another few years to really improve. Cause he only did 1 year. It was a one and done at Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I've been just super, super impressed with Adams. I don't think he's going to score as much as he did in the preseason. Those numbers are going to come down. It's not like he's going to be like the best scoring. Like, you know, he's not DeMarcus Cousins. But I think he's definitely going to be good on offense. And I think people who didn't see him in the preseason are going to be like, whoa, like, what the heck happened to Steven Adams? Because this is not the Steven Adams that I'm used to seeing. I think the scoring is, because he only averaged 8 a game last year, and he's going to play more minutes, and they're going to give him more touches in the offense, and his usage is going to pop up. You know, the scoring is definitely going to go up a lot. How much, I don't really know, but the scoring is going to go up a lot. And as for Westbrook, I mean, my opinions on Westbrook are a little different than other people's. I don't think he's going to shoot as much this year as a lot of other people think he will. I mean, he's going to shoot a lot. He'll probably shoot a little bit more than last year, but like, people talk about him like having an historic shooting season in terms of the number of times he shoots. Like, you know, I don't think it's going to be quite like Iversonian. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, that year when Kobe averaged 35 with like Smush Parker on the team and he was just chucking every second. Like, I don't think it's going to be that. I think he's improved as, I think his basketball intellect has really improved. And he really makes more of an effort to facilitate. He anticipates a lot better in the pick and roll. When he first came into the league, and even up until a few years ago, I would say, he's always had, you know, an Aroldis Chapman fastball, right? Like, he's always had a 102 mile an hour fastball. and he can just blow you away with that really whenever the heck he wants. But the way that you beat a guy and turn that 102-mile-an-hour fastball into the best fastball in the league is you add at least a decent changeup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's added the changeup over the last couple of years. He changed speeds a little bit better. I mean, that was it's a lot of guys' problem. Like, that was John Wall's problem when he first came into the league. You know, it's just that Russell Westbrook's fastball is so good that he, you know, never really had the need to develop otherwise. And I think he's got a nice hesitation on the pick and roll. He's so much more patient as a pick and roll ball handler than he used to be a couple of years ago. I mean, he'll do like the Chris Paul thing now every once in a while where he just dribbles under the basket and then waits for a guy to get open, and it looks like he's kind of entrapped in, but he knew what was happening the whole time, and, you know, he bounces it to a guy under the basket. And those kinds of things he never did 3 years ago. So I think he's at the very least going to maintain what he did last year and maybe even improve, because, you know, he's played more basketball. It's another year under Billy Donovan. This is mental improvement. It's not physical improvement. So I could see him honestly even getting a little better at that. He's going to shoot a ton. I think he's going to have a great year. I just don't think it's going to be like, you know, 25 shots a game.
Okay. And let me ask you, how has life been without Durant, Kevin Durant? I mean, you know, you always hear people asking Westbrook questions about him, and they get to the point that he doesn't want to talk about him anymore. But how has life been for the Thunder without Durant thus far?
It's been weird. The whole back and forth with Westbrook and Durant through, whether it's only narrative or whether it's you know, actually true or whatever it is. Like, I think this whole thing is weird, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
It's just so
awkward.
It's petty. It is. And it's awkward. It's super awkward. And I actually don't enjoy covering it, to be honest. I like covering basketball, and I honestly like covering trash talk and that kind of stuff. But whatever is going on, this is not trash talk. Like, these are weird. This is just, it's weird. I don't know if it's conspiratorial or if it's just strange commentary. It's all weird. And when it's this cryptic, it's not as fun to cover. Although I have to say, I thought that Lee Jenkins side piece, I don't know if you read it, was really, I mean, Lee's amazing. Mm-hmm. But that was a really, especially good Lee Jenkins piece. But without Durant, I mean, the interesting thing about this team is from just a team environment perspective, it's not like it's doom and gloom with them. Like, they think they're going to be good. I don't know if, like, you know, Billy Donovan's not going out there and preaching championship expectations, mm-hmm. I don't think. But they know they're going to be good, and I think that's the right mentality they should take. I think they're going to be pretty good. Like, I think they're going to be a playoff contending team in the Western Conference. They're not going to be top three in the West again, but I think they'll be a playoff contending team in the West, and they'll have a decent shot to make it into the top eight. You know, as long as the thing is that they're really one injury away from not getting there. Like, if Adams gets hurt or if Westbrook gets hurt, they're more susceptible to injury than a lot of teams, because while they're deep, they have a decent amount of playable players. You know, they don't have anyone who can replicate what either of those guys can do. So they're very susceptible to injury. If one of those guys get hurt, then they're in big trouble. But I think they'll be pretty good. I think they know they'll be pretty good. There are a lot of high character guys on the team too. I mean, you know, Steven Adams off the court couldn't be more different than he is on the court. Steven Adams is the most jolly guy you're ever gonna meet. Enes Kanter is, like, you know, his you know, goofball sidekick. You know, you have Andre Robertson, who's just this extremely mellow guy, a very go with, like, you know, just go with the flow type of personality. You know, Sabonis is just a rookie, and he's a smart kid, but he doesn't, you know any better. This is his only NBA experience, and he's probably going to start on opening night, I imagine. He started every preseason game, and you just kind of go through the roster, and you know, Oladipo's happy to be out of Orlando, I think, and you go through the roster, and you find these guys who, you know, Hustis is just happy that, you know, he's not in the D League right now, and you know, you look at, it's not necessarily guys who are going to be like, oh no, Kevin Durant is gone, what do we do? It's from both a personality standpoint and a circumstantial standpoint. I think it's a little bit different. I think credit also goes to the organization and to Billy Donovan for kind of maintaining that, because I think Billy does a good job with that. I think anybody would know with Russell that Russell is just like, he doesn't care. He's going to do him. So, maybe to a degree he cares that Durant is gone, but it's not going to affect the way that he plays basketball. I mean, he's gonna kill it no matter what. So it's funny. I think with some places, a guy like that, you know, like LeBron leaving Cleveland or something, it can plummet. But there are still good players here, so I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case.
How does Victor, you know, good players here, but you also acquired a good player, a good young player who was the second overall pick in the 2000 and. I believe, he was the second overall pick, wasn't he, Victor Oladipo in the 2013?
Yeah, 2013.
Yeah, 2013. So how does he fit in with the franchise right about now?
It's a little bit of a curious fit in some ways. I think they're very open. Victor's very open about his comfort level, which is not fully established yet. It's really not. I mean, here's the thing. Like, he is by name a shooting guard. But that's not really what his role is, right? Like, he and Russell Westbrook are going to be exhausting guard for defenders, no question, because it's one of the most explosive backcourts in the entire league. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They're both just incredible athletes, and they can get to the rim really well. But Oladipo is not. He's going to have to play off the ball a decent amount, and I think he and Russell are still kind of figuring out, all right, we're kind of similar players. How do we, you know, use our drive first skill sets and not turn that into a my turn. Like, how do we make that organic within the offense as opposed to making it a my turn, your turn style, you know? And I don't think that's going to come right away. Maybe it doesn't come. That's possible. Some guys like that just don't figure it out. Some guys do. You can have two drive first guys next to each other. I mean, on a much, much, much greater scale, because, you know, the guys in Miami were, you know, all-time Hall of Famers and unbelievable, you know, LeBron and Wade. But on a much larger scale, in that first year, Miami didn't have it together. I mean, if guys that good take, you know, a year to figure it out, they still went to the finals because they were LeBron and Wade and Bosh. But he didn't have it, you know, all together. They were still learning each other. They were still, you know, kind of integrating into that offense together and adapting to each other. And I think that the Thunder, I don't know how long it's going to take, but it'll take some amount of time before those two guys kind of figure it out on the offensive end. I think defensively there are going to be times where they're going to look real good, and there are going to be times where they're going to look real bad. They both gamble a lot. Russell has amazing defensive potential, and when he locks in, he's good, but he struggles to go around screens, and he'll get lost within the offense and stuff, or within the defense, and that can hurt them. And Oladipo is really good on the ball. He locks in really well and gets up in your jersey, and he's athletic and he's long and he plays really hard. But he will, you know, try to jump passing lanes or try to poke out balls from behind on pick and rolls and give up driving lanes and that kind of stuff. And Westbrook does the same. And that kind of gets out of the Thunder schemes a lot, because they want to drive everything away from the middle. And when they do that stuff, teams can just go middle and it kind of mucks up everything. So I think there are going to be times when they're going to steals, and they're going to be able to get out in transition. And those guys are so tough to stop in transition. And, you know, Robertson runs the floor well, and Adams runs the floor well for a center too. So that'll be good transition team when they get live ball turnovers. There are going to be other times where they're just going to give up a lot of open driving lanes and open shots and that kind of stuff. And you're going to think, like, how can they look so different on two different nights? And that's, I think that's kind of the reason. But I don't know how long it's going to take, but it'll take some amount of time.
Yeah. Just like this, a little side note on this one, you know, we're going to see two high school teammates play against each other.
I didn't even know that.
It's weird. Like, Victor Oladipo and Jeremy Grant, a reserve forward for the Sixers, play high school ball at DeMatha.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, like, they play a lot. Like, and people are like, hey, wasn't that your high school teammate? He's like, yeah. Because it's like, how do you know him? And then you scratch your head and you're like, oh, that's right. They did come to DeMatha. But, yeah, so, I mean, we won't see any matchups. But we'll probably see a bunch of like bro hugs before the game on the court.
On the court, we'll see a bunch of bro hugs between Jeremy Grant and Victor Oladipo. It should be exciting. And I want to thank my man Fred for sitting down and chatting with me. Thank you, Fred, for, thank you for coming on. You were very insightful. I look forward to chatting with you later on Wednesday night. Before and after the game, who knows, if you have some time, maybe we can do this again. And I want to thank y'all for listening to the Locked On Sixers, Locked On 76ers. And, we talked about Nerlens Noel earlier. Excuse me, getting a little cold. We talked about Nerlens earlier. You know, Nerlens had the surgery. It was very successful. He also decided to go to Alabama to do his rehab, which, you know, isn't bad because that's the rehab that's the place where he went to rehab at when he tore his ACL in his lone season at Kentucky. So here's a guy who really knows about him. He was down there the first time for 5.5 months, even after he was drafted by the Sixers. So he moved. He had his operation, and then he moved to Birmingham. He lived there for 5.5 months, and then he came up here to Philadelphia area in September of 2013. So, you know, I know some people are saying, why the heck is he going down there? Well, it's just a matter of comfort, and also this guy, Kevin Wilk, is one of the most renowned therapists in the country. Now, I might even say in the world. So, you know, he's trying to go to someone who's regarded as one of the best. And I think that's a good choice for him. The only problem is downside. People here won't get to see him. He won't get to see his teammates. But, you know, it's all about your future and making sure that everything is together, so when he does get back on the floor and play for the Sixers, that he'll be at 100%. Again, thank you for listening to Locked On 76ers. You can subscribe here on iTunes. You can also get us on Audio Boom. And you can, you know, get this at Philly.com. Just go to the Sixers section. You log on to Philly.com. You log on to Sports. You log on to Sixers, and I'll be there. But if you really want to get all of them on a daily basis, my best thing for you is to subscribe on Audio Boom or iTunes. Thank you, and have a nice day.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.